Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Wow, this is a really interesting subject. We're going to talk to a man now who has what he describes as the oddest job in Britain. His official title is Yeoman Warder of Her Majesty's Royal Palace and Fortress, the Tower of London. His name is Christopher Scaife and he joins us now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Is that on your passport, all that wordy nonsense as a title?
No, it doesn't appear on my passport.
I'm delighted to hear it. So, basically, you are at the Tower of London, and one of your main jobs is to look after the ravens. Now, this is just fabulous. How the heckity-heck did you end up doing that?
So I joined the military, and to be a yeoman warder, you have to have done a minimum of 22 years in the military.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've Army, RAF, Royal Marines, Navy, both male and female. So we're all ex-warrant officer ranks.
Isn't that a little odd that they pick 22 years, Chris, and not like 20 or 25? Why do they pick 22?
We join at 18 years of age. Many of us join at 18 years of age, so it's 22. I actually done nearly 25 years as I was serving.
Right. Okay, so how does the opportunity then come up then when you've done these 22 years?
Well, I was about to leave the military. I didn't really have much of an idea of what I want to do. In the military, I was a machine gunner and a flute player, and there's no real call for a machine gun and flute player in civvy street. The two just don't go together.
Well, I don't know you say that. Have you considered Britain's Got Talent?
Yeah, no, that would be quite fun, wouldn't it, mate?
Right, okay, so how did you hear about the job then?
Well, I was thinking about what to do. I had a love for history, and I was studying a part-time degree in archaeology at the time at Sussex University. And one of the old caretakers where I worked came up to me one day and goes, Chris, he says, you like history. He says, you're a boring person. He says, why don't you go and be a yeoman warder?
And had you at that point got any clue of what that was or what the job entailed? Are you there, Chris? Yeah. Did you have any idea? Do you have any idea what that meant, being a yeoman warder?
No, to be honest with you, I had no idea. I thought it was somebody that guarded the Queen at Buckingham Palace. So I applied for the job and found out that we actually lived and worked from the Tower of London, looking after the crown jewels and storytelling. So I'm in the historical interpreter now. So I didn't really have any clue as to what the job entailed. But I went for it anyway. It sounded good. It sounded important. And so I just went and done it.
Fabulous. And how many yeoman warders are there then?
Currently, we have 37 yeoman warders, both male and female, working and living within the walls of the Tower of London. We actually have about 150 people that live here on site. So we actually live inside the walls of the Tower of London with our families. We have our own doctor on site and our own chaplain and our resident squire, who's the constable of the Tower of London.
How extraordinary. No idea. So do you have your own kind of little apartments there, or do you have to have communally eat at mealtimes? How does it work?
Well, we live in the tower, so as you look at the tower from the outside, you'll see all the arrow slits all around. So there are bedrooms and our living rooms, and on some occasions, including mine, our toilets as well. So don't peer too closely into the arrow loop.
And kitchens and bathrooms, have you all got individual ones?
Yeah, we've got mod cons nowadays. We've got heating and running water. It's fantastic here. We actually live in the towers themselves, so wherever they can put us when a new young warder comes in, we actually move into some of the towers. Part of my house was built in 1280, and then some parts of it were built in about 1750. So it very much depends on which house you live in as to where you go.
So 27 of you there, what duties are performed then by the 27, apart from you looking after the ravens? What are people doing on a daily basis?
Sorry, we have 37. So,
oh, so 37.
37 because we need them to work. No, so absolutely. So we are security. So we look after the Tower of London. We look after the visitors that come to the Tower of London as well. And in days gone by, we would have looked after the prisoners that were kept at the Tower. And on occasions, we would have been involved with some of the torture that took place here. Torture doesn't take place here now, but we do look after 3 million visitors.
Wow. So you can't get, I mean, can you, is it possible to get, we talk about it all the time, people say, oh yes, if you insult the Queen, or then you'll get sent to the Tower. Can that actually happen anymore, do you know?
Well, no, not unless you buy a ticket to come in, I'm afraid.
Fabulous. Now, the Ravens, this is the really interesting bit here. Legend has it, of course, that if the Ravens should ever leave, the Tower would crumble into dust and great harm would befall the kingdom. You haven't got a Raven called Brexit by any chance there, have you?
No, we haven't. Indeed, we do have 6 Ravens by royal decree and a spare one. And so I am responsible for the safety, the welfare and the security of the Ravens. As you can imagine, I have a lot of weight resting upon my shoulders. But the Ravens are still here and they're still doing very, very well indeed.
So what's the story behind the Ravens then? Why are they at the Tower?
Well, the legends and myths, they're connected with legends and myths, and they go back many centuries. In fact, they probably don't go back as many centuries as I just said then. They probably go back to the mid-Victorian period. Charles II came to the Tower of London to see some works that were taking place. At the time, the royal astronomer, a man by the name of John Flamsteed, had a telescope on top of the White Tower. All the Ravens were interfering with his calculations. He went down and asked the king, King Charles II, if he could get rid of them. And the king said, of course you can, until someone turned around and said, Squire, if you get rid of the Ravens, the Tower of London will crumble into dust and a great harm will befall your kingdom. So he was quite superstitious. He decided to keep 6 by royal decree. But actually, the story of the Ravens probably didn't appear in any literature until around 1880, when people were coming into the Tower in greater numbers to see all the sites that were in the Tower. So it was they were brought in to actually see the sites.
How interesting. And how are they kept then? Where do they live during the day and during the evening?
Well, about 3 years ago, we had a fabulous enclosure that was built for them, which is really just to keep them safe at night times. Mm. So I let the Ravens out at first light, depending on the time of the year, after checking the area, preparing their food for them. And then they're out and free to go wherever they so desire around the Tower all day long, obviously meeting the visitors that come in here. They can be photographed. And so they are part of the legends and the myths of the Tower. And in the evening time, like a shepherd, I shepherd them all back into the enclosure.
Is it possible for them to escape? Or are they completely enclosed in the Tower?
No, they're free roaming. They can go wherever they want to. And indeed, they do escape on occasions. There was one occasion a couple of years ago where one of our Ravens called Moonin decided to fly off and ended up in Greenwich, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
For 7 days.
Wow.
So he was actually caught by a member of the public and returned back to the Tower of London, so the kingdom survived.
Now tell me, your job is, as you mentioned there, to get up at stupid o'clock, release the Ravens in the morning, make sure they're watered and fed, let them out, round them up again at night. These are big birds, and I've just been sent a picture here by Ren. Thanks, Ren, for your picture, who shows some ravens flying over the mountains here in southern Spain. They're huge, and are they quite aggressive as well?
Well, they can be. I mean, I love them. I fell in love with them many years ago. The old Raven Master saw me looking at them, I think, and he called me down to their enclosure and he put me in this enclosure of 2 massive ravens, and one of them started to move along the perch towards me, cocked its head to one side, looked at me, and for that moment I fell in love with them. But they can be aggressive, yeah, absolutely. They're quite territorial, and actually when you come to the Tower of London, you can't compare them with a crow. When you see a crow and a raven sitting next to each other, a raven is about 2.5 times the size of a large crow here in the UK.
And quite scary, I would think, for some individuals who are not expecting them to be as they are. And I mean, you apparently once summoned by the sound of tourists screaming, where a raven had caught a pigeon and was eating it from the inside out while it was still alive.
Yes, well, your ravens do things like they would do in nature,
yeah.
And they do eat pigeons as well. And yeah, there are occasions where I can hear the screams of visitors around the tower, and I just think to myself, I think there's a raven over there doing something it probably shouldn't do. But as a general rule, you know, if you think of Alfred Hitchcock and the birds, then perhaps you're going to be scared of ravens. But as a general rule, the ravens will stay away from you when you come to the tower.
That's interesting, because if you go to the seaside, for example, you know, seagulls will dive bomb you, and if you're in Cornwall, they'll try and nick your Cornish pasty, and that's you know, it can hurt somebody if one of those things comes crashing into you. So the ravens do tend to keep away from the people, then.
Well, yeah, they keep away from the people. I keep the ravens as wild as I possibly can. So if they were to fly away, which most of them are capable of doing, they would be able to survive in the wild without human contact. And so if you get approach a raven here at the Tower of London, it's going to move away from you. But there are occasions when some of the ravens can get a little bit naughty, and if you've got maybe a box of Pringles in your bag, then they'll come along and they'll steal that and empty the box out and take all the Pringles. Or if you're eating a sandwich on the bench, then they'll come and do an attack on you and not attack you personally, but they'll attack the sandwich.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they can be quite naughty on occasions, yeah.
And how are they kept going? Are they breeding while they're with you in captivity, or do they get refilled with new ravens that come in?
No, all the ravens that we currently hear at the Tower of London are born in captivity for educational display purposes. So I have people that are around the country that actually breed them for me. I don't have a breeding program here at the moment at the Tower of London. And so I bring them in as and when I need them. But they're long livers. They live a long time. You know, they can live 15 to 20 years.
Wow.
The oldest raven we had at the Tower of London was 44 year old.
Good grief. And it's quite like asking, do you have a favourite child? But is there a favourite raven that you've got a bit of a soft spot for?
I love all ravens from around the world, but yeah, the kind of ears I do a lot on social media, and obviously my book has just been published here in the UK and abroad as well. And one of the ravens that I talk about quite a lot is a raven called Melina. She's a 13 year old, and she's a bit of a free spirit, and I would have said that she was the closest to me. In fact, we're partners.
Oh, how funny. And you clearly then can identify these ravens individually. Do you also give them the name? How do they get the name?
Well, because I'm the Raven Master, it is an odd title. As far as I'm aware, I'm the only one officially in the world, so that's wonderful for me. It's an honour and a privilege to look after the ravens. And one of the honours I have as well is I get to name the ravens as well.
Great.
We've just named one Poppy. It's a new raven that's come in, and she wears a red band if you ever come to the Tower of London. And we named her Poppy because this year we were commemorating the end of the First World War.
Yep.
And we had a light display in the moat called Beyond the Deepening Shadows,
mm-hmm.
which was a load of lights around a moat and sound and noise. People could come and see it. And as a thank you, really, for that, we named one Poppy.
Oh, wonderful. And finally, before I let you go, Chris, does Her Majesty pop along and check the condition of the ravens, or does she leave that up to you?
Yes, every Sunday morning I'm stood to attention by the raven enclosure. Salute, and so imagine she comes along. No, she doesn't come along. She does know, and she is aware that the ravens are there, but she trusts me in my entirety to look after the ravens and keep the kingdom safe.
Oh, well, Chris, I think it's wonderful. It's a brilliant story, and what a unique job. As you mentioned, it's in a book. The book's called Raven Master, and Christopher Skay, thank you so much for joining us today. Do they get a Christmas treat, the ravens? Have they got anything special lined up for Christmas?
We have indeed, actually. For a treat that I normally give the ravens, I give them biscuits soaked in blood.
Lovely. Very nice. Good. Thanks for that. Well, it's been great. Been great talking to you today, Chris. It's a wonderful story, a great job. Thank you very much for your time this morning, and hopefully people get and buy the book for you.
Well,
and to you, Chris. Cheers. Take care. Bye-bye.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.